Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in North Bushy. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. Much better than this, however, is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
First of all, starts by telling you about Jenny. Now, Jenny was a patient of mine. Many of you will know that I'm a physio. I still work as a physio a couple of days a week. And up until last year, I was working in the NHS. And Jenny was a patient of mine. And I don't know what your impression is of physio. Some people call us physiotherapists. And that is because one of our mottos is no pain, no gain. In other words, that in order to improve, sometimes we need to put you in a position that is painful to make some improvements. Now, I take no enjoyment from it whatsoever, I promise you. But the idea is that there's no pain, no gain. And for some people, that's a good thing. They come in and say, are you gonna put me in pain? Because I want to feel the pain. I want to feel like you're really doing something. I say, fine, yeah, if that's what you want, I'm happy to do that. But most people are not, and Jenny wasn't. And she's the kind of person that I go and introduce myself to her in the waiting room, put my hand out, and she kind of flinches. Like, as if I'm not really offering my hand, but I'm actually offering her an instrument of torture. And she kind of flinched, and she was in this place where it's like, oh, I don't really want to be here. I don't really want to have physio. Anyway, I brought her through into my cubicle, just said, what brings you here? And she started to open up. And she started to share with me some of her journey. And she had neck pain. She'd had it for 4 years. And she started to say, my life is not the same as it was. I used to work. I used to look after my kids. I used to drive. I used to be able to do the things that I want to do, look after my household. I used to have hobbies. I used to be able to exercise. I can't do any of those things anymore. I'm in such agony. I'm basically housebound with this pain all the time. I feel so helpless. I feel so broken. I feel so lost. Why has this happened to me? I'm desperate. Can you help? Wonder if you've ever felt like that. So in that place of pain and agony, that you can't see anything else, that you can't see what there could be, you just say, I'm in pain. There's nothing else for me. And so I just listened. In that case, there's not a huge amount that I can do except listen and wait. And we got to a point where I said, can we agree that something needs to change? Can we agree together that we need to make some changes in your life? That if they lead to improvement, it might see the gains that you want. It might see you go back. Can we agree that this is not just my role, it's your role as well? You need to do something to change. I'll come back to that story a bit later. And most of you will know that over the past few weeks, we've been going through Isaiah. And we see that Israel, the nation of Israel, God's people, is in slavery. And they feel in such a desperate position that they feel lost, they feel broken. And God has been speaking words of comfort, words of hope, words of joy, words of peace, words of change. There is something else for you. There is something else for you to have. And we come to the chapter now in Isaiah 52, and I'm going to read the first 12 verses. Awake, awake, Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust. Rise up, sit enthroned, Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck. Daughter Zion, now a captive. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and without money you will be redeemed. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. At first my people went down to Egypt to live. Lately Assyria has oppressed them. And now what do I have here, declares the Lord. For my people have been taken away for nothing, and those who rule them mock, declares the Lord. And all day long my name is constantly blasphemed. Therefore my people will know my name. Therefore in that day they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy when the Lord returns to Zion. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure, you who carry the articles of the Lord's house. But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. And so we see here that Israel is in a place where they feel desperate. They were sold, they were enslaved, they were oppressed, they've been mocked. There's some really graphic imagery in this. There's talks about how they need to be clothed in splendor. In other words, the way Israel is feeling at the moment is that they're like dressed in rags. They feel at the bottom, they feel like they can't dress in splendor because they feel like they're in such a bad place. They're pushed in the dirt, and imagine the place that it was. The dirt, the dust, the desert. They're lying face down and the dirt is entering their mouths. It's in their eyes. It's in their nose. It's everywhere. It's like they could not get any lower. They are pressed down into the dirt. And they're wearing chains around their neck. Chains that signify the fact that they are not their own. They are slaves. They cannot do things on their own. They are in a place of captivity. I wonder if just a little bit that's how Jenny felt. Like she had a chain around her neck. Literally, that's where the pain was. I wonder if she felt like she was down in the dirt, that there's no way that she can live a life that is kind of upright and really fun and enjoyable. Down in the dirt, nothing. I wonder if that's how she felt. But in this passage, we see that God is Savior, he's Redeemer, he's Sovereign, he's Protector. He has taken Israel. Remember where they came from. They come from Egypt. Egypt, where they were previously in slavery, and then taken out of Egypt and into the Promised Land, where they've beaten these enemies that were much more powerful than them. That God, who he is, because he loves them, because he's brought them into a place, he has already saved them. He has brought them at a price and set them free into a place that they were. And now that they are in captivity, God is reminding them of that again. He's reminding them of the fact that you know me. You know who I am. You can trust me. I've been there. I've done it before for you. Remember this. And when I was speaking to Jenny, I was saying, you don't know me. You don't know my record. You don't know who I am, what I've done, that I care for you. All you see is that I'm a physio. And she was still able to trust me. How much more so? How much more so when we know who God is, when we've seen his acts before, when we know his heart, when we understand who he is, when we know his love for us, we are able to step forward in trust for him. Even when we are down in the dirt, even when we feel like we're dressed in rags, even when we're in that place where it feels like this chain is around our neck, because we know him, because we love him, because we trust him, because we've seen what he's done before, we can step forward in the promises that he has for us. Jenny didn't know any of that about me. And so when I'm essentially saying, can you trust me? Can you step out in an act of faith? She's just looking at my t-shirt, my badge that says I'm a physio. But God is so much more. If we know God, we know his heart. And his heart is for us to be Savior, Redeemer, the Sovereign Lord, and the Protector of us all. And so God is essentially asking us to have faith, to act in a way that says we have faith in a God who is good. Now, faith is one of those words that we don't use an awful lot outside the church. And I just want to explore a little bit about what that means. Because faith is throughout the Bible. God is asking us to have faith in him. Because we know who he is, because we can trust him, we can have faith. And so faith means that we see the invisible. We see what nobody else can see. We can see God. We might be able to see his works and the effects of what he's done, but we see the invisible happening. The writer to the Hebrews, and we looked at this last term, says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So even though we can't see what's happening sometimes, it's still having faith in him because of who he is. And faith means that you see the situation that you're in as temporary. Now, this is one of the, for me, the strangest verses in the Bible. Paul writes to the Corinthians, almost forget about your light and momentary troubles. Now, if I'm in Israel's situation, I'm not thinking that these are light and momentary. I'm in captivity, I'm in slavery. It doesn't get much worse than that. I'm down in the dirt. And I think for many of us, if we've been through a situation, or we're going through a situation now, it might be like, well, how can Paul call this a light and momentary trouble? Paul is not saying that God doesn't care about your situation just because it's short or in a lifetime. He's not belittling your situation. What he's saying is, in the light of who God is, in the light of eternity, in the light of the salvation that he brings, he can make it all right forever. So this is just a short-term thing. We can look at it as if, in the long term, forever, we are going to live in his presence. So this is just a blip. This is just a blip. And that doesn't belittle what we're going through, but it does say that God is bigger than the situation. And linked to that, faith means that you see the salvation as permanent. So where our troubles, where our pain is temporary, our salvation is permanent. And imagine you're Israel in this place. You know that you are the chosen people of God. You know that you have been set free from Egypt, and you know that you've been brought into the promised land, and now you've been taken out of the promised land. What Paul is saying in this situation, what the Israelites maybe couldn't see at this time, was that God still loved them, God still had a plan for them. He still had a plan that they would be brought back into the promised land. This is just a bit. But your salvation is permanent. And when we know this, whatever we're going through, we can say that it can't harm me permanently. It's what Jesus is after, is our hearts in this situation. Because his salvation is enough forever. So these light and momentary troubles are nothing in comparison to the amazing salvation of God. And Paul writes to the Romans, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Wow, that's the story of the gospel. That's the good news. And though they wouldn't have heard these words exactly, the Israelites, what God is saying to them here is, you can trust me. That nothing can separate you from my love. You are my very own possession. Notice in this passage, he calls them Jerusalem. In some ways, that could feel like it's mocking them. Jerusalem? What about Jerusalem? It's hundreds of miles away. In fact, we've been taken out of Jerusalem, our home, and been taken into captivity. Why are you calling us Jerusalem? It's because your salvation is permanent. It's because you are still part of my plans, my heart. You are still part of my desire. And what God is saying to them is that you can trust that you are my very own possession. I hold you in the palm of my hand. Your salvation is permanent. And we obviously know the fulfillment of this in the person of Jesus. So where we might feel like we are dressed in rags, the Bible makes it really clear that actually we are now dressed in righteousness through Jesus. That means that we have been made right with God. We can have a relationship with him forever. We go from a place of rags to splendor. And where we feel like we're chained to something, whether that's a sin, whether that's something that we know we continually do that does not bring glory to God, we can move from that place where we are enslaved to that to a place of freedom. This place this morning is a place of freedom because of Jesus. We can come wherever our situation finds us. Whatever we see in our lives at the moment, we can move away from the chains that hold us back in a relationship with God because Jesus has done it all. Through his death, through going to the cross and taking on himself our sins, our mess ups, the things we've got wrong, we can have a relationship with him in complete freedom, away from the sins and the things that hold us back. And amazingly, we've gone from a place where we are lying. So here, lying in the dirt, that's kind of what it was. Paul writes, "What a wretched man I am, because I am lying in the dirt. On my own, I can do nothing. I am down in the dirt, and there is nothing I can do about it. I cannot get closer to God in any way." And in this passage in Isaiah, God says to Israel, "Get up from the dirt, sit enthroned, sit in the place of honor, sit with dignity. Put those clothes on, those good clothes, those ones that show who you are as the people of God, and move in his purposes. We don't need to lie in the dirt anymore because Jesus has taken away that dirt and given us a life that means we can sit in his presence with dignity." And for maybe one person here today, you need to know that either afresh or for the first time, that Jesus has taken away the dirt. That you can have a relationship with him. That you can call him Saviour. That you can call him Lord. And that you can live with him forever. That's the hope we talk about. All it needs is an act of faith and saying, "Jesus, be my Lord." If that's you, come to know Jesus today for the first time. And then faith means moving with God. The promise God gave to Israel, even before they entered the promised land, they can see the giants, they can see the things that are in their way. And the Lord says to them in Deuteronomy, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Lord will never leave you nor forsake you." Wow. That's the message of the gospel. And what this passage says, that because the Lord will not leave you, the Lord is encouraging the Israelites to move with him. To go where he's leading them. To trust him. To have an act of faith in what he's done. He's already done the salvation. He's already saved the people. He's already going to do the work that it takes. All he's asking is for an act of faith, to step forward in his purposes and to move with God. Notice in this passage the number of verbs there are. It says, "Clothe yourself in strength. Put on those garments of splendor. Shake off the dust. Rise up. Sit enthroned. Be who you are. Be who you are. You are my very own special possession. Don't lie in the dirt. Rise up. Free yourself from those chains. Depart. Depart from the captivity. Move with me. This is what I'm doing. This is what God is doing. I am moving you out of this." And what is amazing, if you compare this to the Exodus, so most of you will know the story of the Exodus, where the people are leaving, are fleeing from Pharaoh. It's like, get up quickly. You need to go because Pharaoh is going to change his mind. Move quickly. In this passage, God doesn't say that. God says, you do not need to flee. I've defeated the enemy completely. Once and for all, forever, you can walk out with dignity, with hope, with life. Move with me. I'm going to be there in front of you. I'm going to be there behind you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I've already given that promise years ago. Now trust me. Act in faith. And so, this is a picture of what Jesus has done for us. The enemy has completely been defeated. There is nothing he can do to separate us from the love of God. There is absolutely nothing he can do that when we come into a relationship with Jesus that will prevent us from living with him forever. There is nothing he can do. It has been completely finished by Jesus on the cross. And because of that, we can move in confidence in everything he says about us. We can remember the promises he has brought us. We can move with him. And so, if you remember Jenny at the beginning, we worked together. And I asked her to trust that if we make some changes step by step, we might be able to get you back to where you want to be. And it's one of my most memorable patients because over time, it took a while, she was able to get back to all those things, to driving, to looking after her family, to working. And it's, I'm not in any way trying to compare myself to God, but what I am saying is that she was willing to take a step of faith. And we work together. Now, God has already done all the work for our salvation. If we come to him, we don't need to do anything to be saved. And to show that we are saved, he asks us to take a step of faith, to move with him. And so this morning, where is God asking us to move with him? As I was praying this morning, I sensed that there was someone here who is wrestling with a big decision. It's potentially life-changing, or at least it feels big in your own mind. And I felt God say to me, if that's you, move with him. He says yes, and go for it. And I sense that there's someone else here who is wrestling with anxiety. It's really big in your mind. It's crippling. And to such an extent that you come to church and you're like cynical about who God is. God can't help me. God is not there for me. How can I trust him in this? And I sense that God was saying to you and to each one of us that God is completely trustworthy. And that thing that you are most anxious about, and I sensed it was about the children, I might be wrong about that, but if that's what it is, you don't need to worry. God has got them in the palm of your hands. And you can trust him. And what God asks from each one of us is to step forward in faith and move with him. And God has spoken promises over each one of us. For some of us, we receive prophetic words that are promises about what God is doing in our lives, what he wants to do through us. If those promises are there, but they feel like they're dormant in the back of our minds, what God is saying is that take a step of faith with me, move into those promises, because those promises are true and they are good and they are sure. And maybe for some of us, we don't feel like we've had that specific prophetic word. There are words in the Bible that are promises that are exactly for you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God will you will not separate yourself from the love of God. He loves you that much. You can be in relationship with him. You can be in his family. You can know him intimately as Lord and Savior. He's asking us to move with him in that. And finally, together, as two churches, the Lord has spoken promises over the church in North Bushing. He has spoken promises that we will see salvation in his name. That we will see people from this community coming to know him. We will see baptisms of new people within this community and we will celebrate with them. We will see lives changed. We will see every aspect of this community filled with the presence of God. So that the schools and the businesses and everything that's represented will become like we're in the kingdom of God. Those are promises that have been specifically spoken over this, over the church in North Bushy, over this area. And God is saying, move with me. Move with what I'm doing. And I believe that God has called us in unity as people together. Wherever we come from, whatever our religious background, it's okay to come together. And the promise of that unity is that we will see God's salvation in this area. And so he's asking us to move with him. And so the question I have for each one of us, both individually and corporately. What can we do as an act of faith to say we are moving with God? For some of us, that might be something really specific. And if you want prayer into that, we'd love to pray with you this morning. And for some of us, that might be revealed to us over the next couple of weeks. Why not come and share that with me? And we can work out how this all fits into God's plan for this area. But we can move with God and trust Him and step out in an act of faith, just like God is encouraging His wives. Because He has gone before us and He's there behind us. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you that you have broken every chain and there's salvation in your name. And when we come before you, we can know that your heart for us is good and we can trust you. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you to reveal to us again your heart.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of His presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and His peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, Amen.